Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Strap yourself in.
Because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
On your favorite podcast platform,
or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Lester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like.
All right, Chris.
All right, good evening. How the devil are we all? Welcome along. It is Friday night, it's 9 o'clock, and it is going to be the new time for this particular show, which is the debate show. If you are watching on YouTube, brilliant. If you're not, please get over there. Lester Till I Die TV. Do what it says at the bottom of the screen there. Subscribe. Hit that notification button so you never miss a show. We've got some good ones coming up. A couple of special ones we've got coming up next week, which I can't believe are going ahead. So fingers crossed for that. And if you are listening on your favorite podcast platform, whichever that may be, the big ones there, Amazon, Apple, Google, and Spotify, thank you very much for listening. This is where you can find us.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favorite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker
to play the podcast Lester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Indeed. And what have we got for you tonight? Well, let's first of all say a hello to Helen, I think, is in. Let me just see if I can go up. Helen, good evening. How the devil are you? First one in and last one to leave, like the pub. I know what you like. Thanks a lot for joining us. Welcome along. So we have got the debate show tonight. I'll put my teeth in and try this again. Last night, you may remember, it was a really, really good discussion. No winners, no losers. Which probably if you're a Tottenham fan, you'd be happy that there's no winners because you won't miss out then. But no winners, no losers. We literally just have a debate about it. And last night, of course, it was all about Gareth Southgate. Should he go or should he stay? That is the question. And we obviously had a chat about it. It was very, very interesting, very, very deep. Tonight is what it says on there. The Big Six, are its days numbered? Now, we all know what the Big Six are. Does it exist? Is it all a Sky Media executive's dream? Or is it real? That is what we're going to be talking about tonight. And we're going to be going through things. So we're going to have, as we go through, we're going to talk about the Big Six. Is it just a Sky TV thing? What makes a big club? The last time they won the Premier League and the trophy, that would be fun with the Arsenal fan. How many top division titles they've won? And should it now be a top 8, 9, 10, 11 even? But that is what we're going to go through. So let us start by bringing in my guests this evening. First of all, he's a newbie. It's his virgin night tonight. Now, I say the fact that he's been thrown off Twitter and Facebook recently, don't let that bother you. Don't let that bother you. I've got my buzzer here in case he does sort of, you know, go off, which I should be able to beep him out for. But it's David Smith. Good evening, David. How are you? Welcome along.
Hi, Chris. Thank you very much. I'd like to say I'm very misunderstood on those platforms.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, indeed.
You've been a Foxes fan as long, if not longer, to be honest with you, than I have.
Yeah, early 60s. I was trying to remember my first game, but I think we got locked out. I think it was Leicester Man United, an evening game, in maybe 63, and we couldn't get in. So tens of thousands of people wandering around the ground.
I remember one of my early games was against Chelsea, and I couldn't wait to leave. In the days of the Pens. So welcome along. You're not in Leicester now, are you? Tell us what you do. You are a better version of what we do here. You do it professionally.
Oh well, not professionally. It's all voluntary, but it's a community radio station in Surrey called Surrey Hills Community Radio. So I run that. I'm desperately trying to get somebody else to run it so I can actually enjoy retirement. so far, no takers. But that's what I do. We've got about 40-odd presenters. So we just deal with the community. It's good fun.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. He was on last night. You know, some nights he supports Arsenal, so that would be fun if he chooses that tonight. There are times, of course, he supports Southampton. And occasionally, I believe he actually supports Bristol Rovers. Anthony, good evening. How are you?
Not too bad, Chris. What a load of rubbish that was, that intro. God, by me. At least one out of three is correct. I'm an Arsenal fan. Obviously, I'm your favourite gooner, Chris. You know that now. I'm your favourite Arsenal person here. Bristol City, now that's the team. Bristol's red. It would never be blue and never will be. Southampton, I don't support Southampton. I used to like Southampton when Matt Letizia played for them and scored, you know, even though he's a lazy player, but really, he scored a lot of goals and phenomenal goals as well. And only missing one penalty in his career. So well, that was the reason why.
You, do you have any Southampton leisure wear?
No.
No, you're lying. Now, let's just say the truth machine. You do.
Okay, you do. I do. I do admit I've got one Southampton. It's a training top.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And
well,
I didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, you blame your wife, but you blame your wife on everything.
Oh, I've got to blame someone.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you'll all know this guy. He's available for parties, bar mitzvahs. If you ever need a stripping Jesus, this guy is your man. Let's bring him in. Brad, good evening, sir.
Hi there, guys. Long time no see.
Exactly. Is your camera okay?
Trying to sort it out. That should be on in a minute or two, but
only because the ladies, he's here for you. He's because we don't have Julian on as much now. Julian Watts, who was the ex-player, he is the ultimate top totty for the ladies. But Brad does a very good job of filling in. Don't ask me what he fills in. We won't go there. But just a couple of messages. Helen again. In what terms, if you're talking about financially, then there is to a degree a somewhat a six. But if you're talking trophies and titles, there's only a two, and City isn't in it. I said like a true Liverpool fan. I don't know who this guy is. It's probably, you know, some Southampton fan that's watching us this evening. Chris, good evening, sir. How are you? Welcome along. Nice of you to join us. And Dan the man, the Burnley fan, is in. Welcome, Dan.
Thank
you so much for support through the Twitch channel. Everyone, yeah, you can join us on Twitch now. LTID TV. And because I couldn't, my normal one is much too long. So LTID TV, which is also where we are on TikTok as well. And if you are on TikTok, there's a very good clip I uploaded about a week ago about our very, very own Anthony Kamara. It's well worth
it. It is, yes. It's on for 8 minutes, you know. It's not long.
eight minutes of cami clips with our own Anthony Kamara. Well, guys, yeah, look, we're talking about the big six here. We've got sort of somebody in representing that. so he tells me. But let's have a look, first of all, at what we sort of generally consent to be the sort of, if you like, the big six, top six. Arsenal, Man United, Spurs, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City. Let's start with you, David. I mean, do you still consider there to be a... I mean, we will come on later as to whether there should be more, but do you still think that it kind of exists?
Well, it does in Sky's eyes, yeah. Mm. I think it's debatable as to how you pick out the top six. You pick it out for... I mean, the idea is that the biggest stadium, broadest fan base, the most money... consistency in the Premier League, that type of thing. Well, Spurs have got a big ground now. And to be fair, they're pretty consistent. They don't win anything, but I suppose they're pretty top 10 most of the time, aren't they? And they get into Europe occasionally. But I think, personally, I think there's only a big two at the moment.
Well, that was what Helen was, you know, said earlier. It does seem to be the Liverpools and the Man Cities. I mean, do you think, or let me ask Anthony this, are you concerned or do you think we could end up a bit like Scotland, where you've got the same two, three teams winning season after season?
Well, it definitely looks like that, doesn't it, in this time being. For how long? We don't know. It may probably be a few years yet. I think the only team that can most probably catch him up would be, well, it's like the top six there. That's the only teams that can most probably catch him. But depending on what their money situation is like, as we know, that Man City, they've got they got the most money. They got more money than Liverpool. But Liverpool's are sort of like just behind them, but they're sort of like trying to tread on their toes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's that. Regarding the others, not a chance in hell, not at the moment.
Mm. I mean, Brad, do you think, we know Leicester won it and that's going to come up. And it's not because we're Leicester, it's because they were the last sort of non-recognisable top six team that won it. But do you think us actually winning it made these other teams more determined that was never going to happen again? A club from outside their little top table dared to actually sort of go and win the damn thing?
I mean, it probably did for maybe season or two, but the biggest thing that's changed dramatically so much over time is, you know, you look at where it was when the Premier League first started and where it is now, you can't compete with the top two. Nobody compete with the top two. We're not just talking financially, we're talking law of attractiveness of the club, we're talking the money they can spend towards one or two transfers. I mean, we ain't spent anything this summer, so that puts us at a disadvantage as it is, because we don't seem to have any money to spend after the pandemic and that. But it's just not the same as what it was. I think maybe after a season or two, and then when you realise that that was a one-off in terms of Leicester weren't suddenly, you know, we're not like we're talking about Leicester being title contenders for the last four or five seasons. They've gone off the boil in that, you know, in that regard, which we obviously expected, but I don't think it's really done too much to it now, since it's kind of talked about as a fond memory, more as a potential impact on the sport itself, because no one's challenging Liverpool or Man City. So, yeah, the top six, top two, maybe.
Well, yes. Yeah. And, I mean, Dave, coming back to you, and I apologise if I sort of drop Harry in occasionally instead of Dave.
Yes, that's right.
Your fault, not mine. You know who I'm referring to.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Dave, I mean, yeah, going on then from what Brad said, are we making a mistake allowing sort of these foreign owners to come in? And I'm saying we've got foreign owners, so we're the same, but they're taking the, you know, we saw the ESL. That is probably going to raise its head again soon in some form or another. You know, we know which clubs got invited in, which was the six that we're talking about today. Is there too much, certainly American influence? Because obviously they don't know sort of promotion. And I mean, I'm in the middle of watching Ted Lasso at the moment. And I don't know if anybody's seen that. It's about an American coach coming over to coach an English soccer team. And he had to have explained to him what relegation and promotion were. He thought promotion was unrelegation. I mean, do you think that's the American influence is becoming too much?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because every club wants a rich owner. I mean, we're so lucky, obviously, with ours. We get a bit of best of both worlds. But, you know, Man City was struggling to stay up not that many years ago. And now look at them. Liverpool have won, what, one title in the Premier League?
Yeah.
They've got an American owner, they have, haven't they? And so, okay, now they could win it every year. Arsenal, you know, everyone wanted Wenger out. Be careful what you wished for. Everybody said that. Yeah, Chelsea. You know, Chelsea have been built on money. So, yeah, that's the way to go, I'm afraid. Mm. But there is always the West Hams, the Leicesters, the Villas, who, again, you know, overseas owners. But I think they are one-offs, as Brad said. And I think teams like that are concerned. I mean, we should have a 42,000 stadium now, without any doubt, you know, because people cannot get tickets. But if you build it and we go down, we're screwed.
Yeah, yeah. As we know only too well.
Yeah. We went down in liquidation, didn't we, and came up in liquidation.
Yes.
So it's difficult to break into it. But I really think, you know, the quality of the teams below that top six, if you like, a lot better than they were 5 years ago.
Yes. Oh, definitely. It is more becoming more of a level playing field. Anthony, you've actually obviously been through that as an Arsenal fan. You know, you've got the Cronkies in there that obviously nobody likes. You went through the ESL. I mean, you know, if, as a fan, explain what that was like, because you want the best for your club. And that, in fairness, it would have, you know, made you an elite club. But, you know, it would have taken all the competition out, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, definitely. It would have taken the competition out. I wasn't keen on it, you know, and to a certain extent. Let's be honest. It worried fans and it worried people as well. Not just fans of Arsenal Football Club and these teams. It was worrying for the other teams as well, sort of. But let's be honest, it was never going to happen. It was never going to happen at all. You know, I mean, Arsenal has been a club in the league for years, even though the old Division One. Since they got promoted to that league, they've never been relegated. So, do you know what I'm saying? So, it was only a matter of time. It was just going to be, basically, it was just going to be brushed underneath the rug, the carpet, like, sort of thing. So, nothing like that was going to happen. There was talks about it was going to be, well, people started doing them. Somebody started doing protests, didn't they? Some of the fans for the clubs and that. But, I mean, to be honest with you, it was never going to happen. It wasn't going to happen at all.
Oh, I think Anthony's frozen there. Anthony Camaro is back. Brad, moving on to you. Oh, is he? He's moving. He's alive. We missed your last bit, Anthony. You froze.
Yeah, I was just saying it was never going to happen, and that was it, really. So it was just a matter. It was shoved under the rug, and that was it. Done with. I think, to be honest with you, it was the American owners that basically wanted Arsenal to go into that for a bit of money. But, you know, it would have never happened.
Brad, as a Leicester fan, we would never fully accept you when we won it. We had obviously that Intercontinental Cup, whatever it was, and that was American and backed, and they didn't want us in there, despite the fact that we were champions. I couldn't have seen our owners going for it, or could we?
Sorry, go on. What, going for the Super League?
The ESL, yeah.
No, because it completely, like, in a weird way, you know, now the madness has been done with, I can kind of see why certain owners from certain clubs were interested in this breakaway league and this multi-million idea. We all know the reasons the Barcelona's were in it. They were 500,000 billion trillion pounds in debt, and it would have definitely taken care of it. But for the logical reasons behind, you know, like what you said, and I'm not trying to justify it, I'm trying to logicalize why they may have thought it would have been interesting, is because I mean, you look at how successful and how much money it brings over in America doing this franchise football, this franchise soccer, as they like to refer to it as, you know. Yeah. Would it have been a good idea? Well, you know, if it makes you millions, at the end of the day, the one thing that has become very, very more and more apparent over the years is it's no longer, yes, the title is Leicester City Football Club or Liverpool Football Club or Arsenal Football Club, but whoever owns that club is essentially owning the business title of Arsenal or the business title of Tottenham or Leicester or whatever. And if they decide that that's the best way they're going to generate money, they're going to do it. Our owners are too passionate about the sport and the people of our city to even jeopardise the idea of just going for the greed of the gold.
Yeah, definitely. Rene is just giving us the weather report. Apparently, it's very hot in Leicester and it's 31 degrees.
Wow.
our weatherman there, Rene. Moving on then to the next section, which is it a Sky thing? I mean, David, is it sort of a case of it's who Sky can get the most viewers for? You know, would a Wolves, I don't know, let's say for some, would a Norwich Watford game last season have got the worldwide viewers that a North London derby would have done?
No, but it wouldn't be so hyped either. I think Sky have done a great thing, but only because the BBC blew it many years ago and stopped covering sport. And started putting on, I don't know, films on a Saturday afternoon. So Sky were there, and it must be, what, 30-odd years ago now, and they jumped in. They saw an opening, and they took it. So, you know, we see football on TV, which people like Brian Clough said would destroy football. People would stop going. But it's proved the opposite. So it works. But I think they're biased. I mean, Sky are biased, BBC are. So you have to live with it. And the cynical part of me thinks there are certain kickbacks that come from the football clubs. I think, is it Ferguson banned the BBC for years, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they are powerful clubs. And I think we get sucked into it. I really do. I mean, you can look at the top 10 in the Premier League, and teams like Newcastle, who they're going to be massive in a few years' time. I mean, I know their fans think they're massive now, but you know, I remember them in Division Two with about 15,000 there. So, but they are going to be massive, and that's overseas owners. So, what do you do?
Well, Anthony, as an Arsenal fan, do you consider yourself a big six club? Is that how you think of Arsenal? And was that any different before Sky came along?
Um,
I think, to be honest with you, we are a top six club now. Obviously, years ago, we wasn't. And I don't know. I think with these people with Sky, they sort of say one thing and another thing happens and all this and that. But it's just, to be honest with you, it's like what you said. Like, you know, it's really hard to say something on this because, in all fairness, I mean, people will say one thing, you hear another, you get people confused and all this and that. I'm not really a keen lover of Sky now sort of thing. It's just, I personally think, to be honest with you, Chris, if I'm allowed to say it, I personally think for what we do and what we watch and what we pay for it, I think, to be honest with you, they're robbing bastards. But
these are the views of Anthony Herbert, not Leicester Till I Die TV.
It is my views. Don't blame Chris's channel. It's my views. But they are, and they're biased as well. It's like we said before. I totally agree with the what was said just before me. You know, in the BBC, where they were just as bad as well. So
yeah, I mean, that's all I can. We do tend to blame Sky, and we say, oh, God, we've got to pay for this. And when it was locked down, we couldn't get to games, and it was 20 quid for a game, on top of the tickets, et cetera, et cetera. But before Sky came along, football wasn't the enjoyable, well, I say enjoyable, it wasn't what it is now, was it? It was a completely different setup, completely different sorts of people went to watch it.
No, and it was also more fun. It was also more fun. It was more open. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've always been a big watcher of the Premier League years, you know, when they go back through there. And I remember them days. I don't remember if you guys did. Probably the early 90s, where not just the league title would go down to the final day, but there'd be an Aston Villa in there. There'd be a Blackburn up there. There'd be a Newcastle there. You know, you're talking about a big six, right? Arsenal would just break into that cusp with Manchester United in the 90s. Liverpool were just about sniffing around in the top six every season, but they weren't challenging for titles, that's for damn sure. Tottenham were finishing mid-table 10th and 11th with Leicester in the late 90s, I know that for a fact. Chelsea were a side that had a hell of a lot of talent, but weren't finishing anywhere near the top six or just about scraping top four sometimes as they were looking until the Abramovich days. It's not a big six on achievement, on merit, on what they did there and then. It's the popular six. It's what it is. It's what gets us the most money worldwide. And Sky had a massive effect on that because Sky in its own right is a business. Sky almost feels like these companies inherited football as a sport. Like, it's almost like they brought the sport. Because before it was on Sky, before it was a televisionalised event, the only thing you talked about was a race for the top. Because the top four was nice, you got Champions League football, but the race for the top, because you've got Villa playing Coventry and you've got, they need to win. Sorry, you know?
I'm going to have to stop. You're getting a lot of feedback there.
I don't know what's going on with my phone, mate. I was hearing it yesterday. I'm trying to sort it. I do apologise.
No. Have you got your earphones in? Because that helped yesterday, didn't it?
No, but I will get them.
Yeah, okay. Dave, I'll come back onto you just while Brad's sorting himself out. Is before Sky, we had ITV, who literally ruined lower league football with their ITV digital effect. But, you know, clubs like, you say, Man United, and tie it in with Sky and Alex Ferguson joining. Before those points, Man United were just another, no disrespect, Tottenham or Arsenal, as in they would win the odd thing here and there, but they weren't the club that they were under Ferguson.
Well, apart from the fact Arsenal were the only ones of those three that didn't get relegated, where Man U and Spurs did. But I think the excitement's different now. I don't watch that many live games unless it's Leicester. And that's terrible, really. But I sort of fell out of love with watching them because it's the same old hype every time, and you know where the pre-match chat's going to be and what it's about, and
yeah.
And there's no characters on there really. When you think back to Jimmy Hill, and it's a long way back, but those days they'd bring on a manager who'd say something controversial, who would actually give you something, not the standard interviews. Even Brendan Rodgers does it. He comes out with the same sort of politically correct stuff instead of saying, you know, what he means. And because that's how everybody's been conditioned. And Sky pay a lot of money to these clubs, so they have to do it.
Yeah, and Jimmy, we have Elton Wellesby on our channel quite often. There's a name for you, Dave, Elton Wellesby. Mm. And Sky sort of had Andy Gray and I forget who the other guy was. They certainly have brought something, as in the package. Do you know what I mean? The whole thing. But I used to enjoy what I remember watching Liverpool Newcastle on the with Keegan and Dalglish as managers. It was 4-3 and ones like that. And as Dave said, I now find myself yes again just watching the Leicester games.
Well, I know what you're saying, but trouble is, though, is like what I say, it's like what you have on Sky as well. You know, you've got the punditry and the commentators that's on there. I think, to be honest with you, I've liked the, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher go as well, don't they? Especially when they're, it's Liverpool versus Man United, you know, they're giving each other a stick and all this and that. But, and Roy Keane and Michael Richards, they're a right pair, but it depends who's on there, really. I mean, if it's someone on there, and this is my own opinion. I think when Jamie Redknapp's on there, sometimes I turn the volume down, to be honest with you, because I feel that there's times where he talks sense, but there's most of the time he talks rubbish, and you think, what the hell are you on about?
I'm getting some feedback from you, Anthony, as well.
Are you?
Yeah, getting a little, when you talk, I'm getting a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've been muted, and I could still hear feedback when I was muted trying to sort it, so I'm not sure.
It's these two youngsters, Harry, Dave, sorry, you know what I mean?
Well,
but moving on.
Is it
just you two,
is it?
It's just you two.
Moving on to the next thing,
which is what makes a Big Six club? What you know qualifies you to be a Big Six club? Is it the money? Is it your stadium, the fan base you've got, the number of trophies you've got? What would qualify, would you say, Dave, a club to be a Big Six club? Or is it a mixture of everything?
It's obviously not the number of trophies, else Tottenham wouldn't be there, would they?
I love it, indeed.
It's, I think I mentioned it earlier, it's biggest stadiums, it's the biggest fan base, therefore you should have the biggest bank balance, consistency. But I think, moving on from that, what I was interested to look at, I think from last year, is who fills their stadium. And surprisingly, the top two are ourselves, Leicester, and West Ham. Now, I know we haven't got... Well, West Ham have got massive capacity, haven't they? What, they've got 60,000?
Yeah.
So, you know, teams like Man United, Man City and Liverpool are probably the worst out of that supposed top six or eight of getting a full house, which is, considering the football they've played this year, is quite staggering. But you've got teams like Newcastle who are up there. Chelsea, obviously, are not filling their ground, even though it's pretty small ground. Arsenal, I think, are around 5% off capacity, I think, something like that. So they're okay, but, you know, you think you couldn't get tickets, and we can't get tickets at Leicester unless you're getting the ballot and you're lucky. But a Big Six club will never change. You'll never change it. Newcastle will never get into that Big Six because they're not the right type of club.
Well, we'll come on to Newcastle, funnily enough, later. What do you think, Anthony, for you, what for you makes a club a Big Six club?
Well, I was going to see, first of all, I was going to see Truth Is, and then when Tottenham was mentioned, and it was like, it wasn't, it is, because they've only won two. So I thought, well, yeah, that's a good point. So it can't be, well, it's not Truth Is for Tottenham, but it's Truth Is for the rest of us. But to be honest with you, I think fans do help to get behind the team. I think having the right owner, that helps, and also the having the right manager as well. Unfortunately, at Arsenal, we haven't got that. I'm talking about the manager to start off with, because obviously I'm Arteta like. But I mean,
really, you hide it well. You hide it well.
No, I'm not Arteta. I've never been Arteta in. First day when he walked through, when he came manager, I thought, nah, this ain't gonna work.
Well, so, anyway, ignoring Arteta, because that's going to damn it. Once we get on to Arteta, that's the whole show gone.
But to be honest with you, Chris, yeah, it's having the right manager. It's having a balance in your team, your squad, and the word the consistency that was already mentioned. That's up there as well with it as well. So it all comes into one another of obviously making a top six team.
Yes, yeah. Dan's very happy because somebody's mentioned Burnley's got a lot of trophies. I'm not saying anything. He's my friend. Brad, for you, what makes a club a Big Six club?
I mean, for me personally, success. I think you've got to be right up there, very. Quite a lot of seasons, you know, you've got to be up there consistently fighting. You don't necessarily have to be for the title because, you know, gone are them days where three or four teams are fighting for the title right at this moment. But you've got to be a consistent feature in there. You can't fade away because, you know, you earn it. You've got to go and keep it, haven't you? You've got to earn that right to be called a big club or a big six team. And for me, that's where it should be going. And you should be looking at this big six and going, okay, recently, who has dominated the big six? Because, you know, we talk about times where, like, oh, Derby were a big club, you know, Forest were a big club, Leeds were a big club, you know, and they still refer to themselves as that, but they'll never go back to being the big six. But it should be done on the basis of a more present scale. And that would be, well, Chelsea would just about keep themselves in it, wouldn't they? You know, yeah. United maybe just about claw themselves into it, but that's fading. Arsenal probably owe the fact that they won the FA Cup a few seasons ago to the fact that they're, again, you're talking another team scraping it in. Tottenham, it's a laughable excuse for a team being in the top six. They are literally there because other people around the world want to watch Arsenal Tottenham and don't want to watch Leicester versus Southampton on a Friday night. That's the only reason they're in it, because they're lucky they've got...
Anthony would, because it's his second team.
Well, of course, Anthony would. Anthony's a winner in that result, isn't it? Or in Bristol City in the Cup as well, he's a winner either way. But what makes it for me would be, again, you're talking three teams out of the top six are already scraping just to be in there. It's Liverpool, Man City, Leicester, Wolves, West Ham... And then maybe just holding on to it by the, you know, the scruff of it's Chelsea. That would be my big six. And I know I'm included on my own team, but they've been successful. Three of them teams are overachieved, above expectations of what they were expected of them. Most notably silverware, but West Ham for reaching finals, Wolves for their consistency. And again, Man City and Liverpool aside, Chelsea, the only one out of that top six, air quote, the top six there, that are just about hanging on with enough, you know, credentials to say, yeah, well, we still deserve to be a big six. On the faces of it, Arsenal and Tottenham really don't deserve it, and nor do Manchester United. Again, I'd say they're stretching being in the top six or top seven.
Dan, the Burnley fan, if you don't speak to me before, happy Father's Day Sunday, Chris. Thank you, son. Thank you very much for that. He's not Dave. He's just he's Ginger. I mean, good God, never that was a son. But I'm not. We'll leave it at that. But thank you for that, Dan. moving on then, as everyone was touching on there, I mean, we've all kind of said, yeah, trophies. It obviously goes on the number of trophies that you can win. Now, let me just take that off, because how recently do you say that this is, you know, you've won trophies? How far back do you go to say a club winning a trophy is makes them a big six? I mean, we look at this here, and Man City, okay, you know, this is the most recent, on the left is the most recent Premier League or top division, and on the right is the most recent trophy, if it wasn't that. So Man City basically have won, well, the most recent was obviously the Premier League this season, but they've not won a Champions League. They've won a couple of FA Cups, but obviously and a few League Cups. Liverpool, they got the Champions, obviously, in 2018-2020, and obviously the FA Cup last year. Chelsea, last league win was 16-17, but they won the Champions League in 21. Leicester, I've put in there because we've won it quite recently. 15-16, we won the title. FA Cup in 2021. Man United 12-13 for the title, 17 for the Europa League. Arsenal, yeah, we got it eventually, Anthony. Premier League 03-04, FA Cup 2020. And Tottenham, they've got to go all the way back to Division One, 1960-61, when, you know, they did beat Leicester in the FA Cup because they did the double. But then you get the League Cup in 2008 again when they beat Leicester. So they only win something when they play us. I mean, looking at that, Dave, you'd have to say Leicester should be in there.
Well, you're right. I mean, if you're talking about trophies over, the last 10 years, and you've got to include the Community Shield, because we've tried that a couple of times.
English Super Cup, as we like to call it on this channel.
The what?
English Super Cup.
Oh, right, yeah, good point. Didn't we win the Great British Cup as well?
We beat Celtic, in the 15 or the 16-17 season, didn't we, yeah.
But Leicester in the top six of trophies won in the last, 10 years.
Mm.
So if you class it on that, since the Premier League started, I think obviously Man United have walked it generally, but I think we're in the top six of that as well.
Yeah, I mean,
or maybe sixth equal or something like that, but we're certainly up there. So I think if we had a 40,000-50,000 seated ground with our training facilities, we'd be classed as a top six club.
Yeah, I mean, I put Leicester in there, Anthony, because, you know, we are not, and we'll come on to the sort of teams that might break into that later, but, you know, we are the one team outside of those six teams that have actually won something. Now, we've actually won something more recently than, and no disrespect here, Man United, both with Premier League and another trophy, Arsenal and Tottenham. So, you know, how can, you know, any of those three clubs still claim to be a big six club? So surely it's not about what you did 20 years ago, it's about what you're doing now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is what you're doing now. I mean, you look at the top three in the Premier League, it goes Man United, Liverpool and Arsenal. 20 times, 19 and 13 times you won the league. And when you support a team like that, you sort of like roughly go on past history. That's what people normally do. If you support a top team and they haven't won a trophy for a while, you sort of lean more to the past than what you'd normally do now. I mean, to be honest with you, blind me, I can remember when under Arsene Wenger, we almost went a decade without winning a trophy. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, and that trophy was an FA Cup. You know, and then the following two, because we had Hull in one final and Aston Villa in the other. So, you know, it's just like, I mean, the one you've got here now with Arsenal, that was the season we was undefeated. You know, that was the reason why obviously we won it. The season you won it, I believe Arsenal really ballsed up then, because they had a perfect chance to win that Premier League. 2015, 2016 season.
But we didn't.
I think Leicester paid us. I think Leicester paid us off. Look, we thought, yeah, go on, then you can have it. And
now, your biggest mistake was thinking you won it in mid-February.
Yeah, no, it was, Brad. You're absolutely right. Because to be honest with you, when it came towards, obviously, you know, middle, late February, you were thinking, blimey, this could really be our season. Then when it got to the last, three months, and then we started deteriorating down the league a little bit, and then you were second, then you went top, and we thought, well, you know, I mean, that's fair play. Enough. I mean,
Arsenal that season was beating us because you celebrated after that like you had won the trophy.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, but I think we should change the subject now on that season.
We'll move on to Brad. I mean, looking at that, like I say, Brad, three of the so-called top six teams are, under us, if you like. And if we bring this next graphic in, how many titles these teams have won? Now, okay, we've only won one, I grant you. Man United, yeah, they've won 20. Most of those, obviously, under Mr. Ferguson. Liverpool, 19, and all credit to Arsenal, 13th. And again, you know, Tottenham hadn't won anything since 1961, as in top divisions, but they've actually. Huddersfield Town have won more top division titles than Tottenham Hotspur, and yet Tottenham Hotspur fans believe they are this huge football club.
Yeah, well, delusion's handed out on a grander scale, isn't it, when it comes to Tottenham fans? I mean, I don't know what that Daniel Levy does, the pulling power, but how he got an invite to the Prince's Ball with that English Super League thing, I don't know, because they just don't warrant it. They've never, ever been a big six side, in my opinion. Again, I literally think they are counting their lucky stars and holding on to the coattails. That if you went around the world and said to anybody who likes football, do you want to see Arsenal Tottenham live? You'd have to say the Arsenal part first, because they think Henri, Bergkamp, they'd remember them days and want to see it, not knowing how much has changed. Tottenham are bang average. In fact, when that season happened, Chris, that we won the title and Arsenal gladly played their part, it was one of them where we made the comparison, didn't we? Saying, remember when Tottenham got that flux of money and they had the Bale and the Modric and that, and they earned their way into the Champions League, and then they stayed there for a bit, and then they slipped away for a bit. You know, I feel like if that had happened at any other period in football time, if that had happened in the 90s, they wouldn't be classed as a big six. I don't know what it is that's justified them. No. And again, you know, the previous listing you brought up, I mean, one slight correction on there, unfortunately, is Liverpool won the FA Cup in 2022, but you put 2020, but never mind. We can't all be perfect like myself. I'm kidding. But it stretches the point.
Damn copy and paste.
Yeah, but it stretches the point that I made in the last round when we were talking about it. Three of the big six have lesser history in recent times of winning something than Leicester. You know, Man United, Arsenal and Tottenham. And if you'd have told Sky or the FA or whoever incorporated the big six as a slogan that Leicester or Everton or somebody, one team would win more than them in the next 20 years, and go, no, we've got this in the bag. These teams are always going to win something, so they're always going to be the biggest six clubs in England. And now they're sat there going, you notice how since Leicester started doing it, it's been talked about as the top seven. You know, even Sky have started to try and stretch it to make up for it, because you're seeing it. It's almost like comparing it to a stale team that's gone stale. They've got so comfortable that they've taken their eye off the ball, and some clubs just feel they're going to live off the top six forever. Well, you're looking at them teams, Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday, Huddersfield, the founders of football. Was Preston one of them?
Yeah, I believe. Burnley.
Yeah, Yeah, where are they now? They all fall off the perch, so this Big Six won't stay a Big Six forever, or at least the names won't.
No, and David, you know, looking at that there, Sunderland, three times as many top division titles as Spurs.
Yeah, and they should still be there, really, but they've been badly managed from the top.
Yeah.
And Sheffield Wednesday, same, they let their ground, well, disappear, really.
Yeah.
Huddersfield are at least, you know, make it a comeback, and they're trying to do it right. I think just one point, if I could make, is that how do we get out of the cycle of top players wanting to sign for the Man Uniteds, the Tottenhams, they're signing people now. Teams like Leicester seem to have to wait and, you know, wait for the scraps or look for the Fofanas of the world, which is okay.
I think what we do is we will, and I've said this many, many times, David, that we will take a chance on a player. You know, we took a chance on Fofana. No other club, or any of those top six clubs, would have taken that risk on him because they want to wait until the next stage till he's proved himself. You know, so, but I'm quite happy for us to get these players in for 20 million and then sell them on for 50, 60, whatever million pounds. The big teams are willing to spend, and because they're stupid, and they would be better off buying these younger players. And maybe Arteta's maybe trying to do that a little bit at Arsenal, in fairness. But you know, they don't want to know these players until they are, you know, in the sort of, say for example, in Fofana, the French team. They're not, that is in the French under-21 team. They don't want to take that gamble unless to do. But talking about Tottenham. And this will please Anthony here. We do this just as occasionally. Well, say occasionally, probably quite regularly. We do this during the show whenever we talk about.
It's Spurs. Time for the Daily Spurs.
How long since Spurs won a trophy? Well, I can tell you, because I know you're all dying to know. I can hear you asking, Anthony, can't I?
Yes, yes. Come on, Chris. They're like, spill the beans.
14 years, 109 days, 4 hours, 21 minutes and 34 seconds, 35 seconds. So that is going on and on. And we'd just like to remind any Tottenham fans doing that it has been... has been that long.
Bollocks.
They've just spent 35 million on a player as well.
They have, and money doesn't
Where's that money been?
You know,
for some money. I mean,
again, Man United, like you said, David, you know, they attract the players, but it's whether they can mould those players into a team. You know, United haven't been able to, and maybe Conte will be different with Spurs. We shall see. But the interesting thing now is, who do we think, to round it off, is going to break into that, if you like, so-called top six? Will teams have to drop out, or will it eventually be looked at as a top seven, top eight, top nine? Now, I've basically put some clubs up there. Newcastle are probably the most likely, but they basically, because they've got the money, you know, they are the richest club now, even more so than Man City. Recent success, you could say Leicester, as we just looked at, and West Ham have been in Europe the last two seasons, where, for example, Arsenal haven't, and they got further than Tottenham when they were in it. If you look at the history, Villa, Everton, just for you there, James, let's not forget Nottingham Forest, as much as obviously we try to as Leicester fans.
God, you just made me throw up there, Chris. Sorry.
And for down, we've even got Burnley, you know, even they got a good history. I mean, do you see any of those teams making it, David, at all?
Yeah, I do. I think it'd be a top 10. I think City, Villa, West Ham and Newcastle. If they can keep Gerrard and the progress they've made, say, I'm not a keen Villa fan at all, but I think they're going to be there. So I think a top 10 is feasible, yeah.
And I think it does well when you... I mean, they've got American owners, but I have heard Villa... speak, you know, the owner speaking on the radio, a lot like Newcastle. Yes, they've got the money, but they're not saying we're going to win it next season. We're going to win the Premier League next season. The year after that, we're going to win the Champions League. They're taking it step by step. And, you know, with Villa, David, like you said, they've got Gerrard in, and that's a good move because, you know, he will develop along with the team. And he's also the name that will attract the players, as we've seen with Coutinho and possibly Suarez.
Yeah, and that's what we've got with Rodgers, despite people moaning. You know, you've got to have a good manager to bring the players in who they can work with. And those four teams have got them.
Yeah, and I think, as I say, we do moan about Rodgers, obviously, but he is still, because of his, you know, Liverpool connection and what he did at Celtic, he is still regarded as a top coach with a big name. Anthony, which of those do you see either breaking into it or making it a bigger, like I say, top 7, 8, or 9?
Well, personally, I can see yourselves being in there. Obviously, Leicester. It's already been said, I think, Steven Gerrard with Aston Villa. I mean, they signed a centre back in Diego Carlos. He's a good centre back as well. But you know, he's adding depth to the squad at the minute. He's not going out buying, you know, these sort of top players that's like 50, 60 million. He's averaging around about 20, 25 million there around about, just to put that depth in his squad. So I could see Aston Villa, Burnley, is that Burnley on the end there?
Yeah.
Well, they got no bloody chances.
I put that on purely for the fact that they got the history. You know,
I only said that because Dan might be still on watching. But but big up Dan. Love you, by the way, mate. You're all right. You're sane. And Newcastle, I can see it. But trouble is, though, is like with Newcastle's got the money there, but in all fairness, to me, is having the right manager. If you've got a world class manager, you're gonna be having the teams, the players coming through. I don't think Eddie Howe is gonna attract world class. He attracts good players, you know, players that want to play for Newcastle and that. I don't think he attracts world class players in top quality. That I don't think he will. It's a bit like Arsenal as well. I could put my own team, Arsenal, in it as well. If you're going to play for a London team, you're either going to play for Chelsea with Tuchel, or you're going to play for Tottenham under Conte. You're not going to go to Arsenal. A manager like Arteta is not going to attract world-class top players. He's just not.
I love you, Anthony. Well, you got to get your Arteta digs in there, don't you?
I always do. And do you know, I always will. As long as he's in a job, I always will, because I just don't think he's the right man for the job. I just think.
But
thank you, Dan.
always moving on when that name is mentioned. But Brad, I'm looking at it here. I mean, since the Premier League was formed in 1982, Manchester City won the title 6 times, United 13, Leicester City we know once, Blackburn Rovers once, Arsenal 3 times, Liverpool have won it once, Newcastle United have got second twice, Aston Villa have got second once. And then we're only in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th place. Tottenham Hotspur have got 1 second.
I mean, the thing is, and this is probably the only, this potentially could be the start of the downfall of this Big Six brand. And it's because if you look at it more of a logical and the reason it was made in the first place sense from the teams that are making up the Big Six. You've got your derbies, your glamorous derbies, as they're called. You've got derbies that are so in debt in rivalry, like Manchester and Liverpool, that they even take over being more classed as more important than their, you know, the Manchester derby. And, you know, the Liverpool derby versus Everton is a second seater now these days to the Manchester versus Liverpool games and whatnot. But if you start to make it a top eight and top nine, then that mirage that these are the biggest, best clubs in England sort of gets diminished a bit, because it's like, well, hold on a minute, all you need to do is get Rich taken over or win a few trophies. They risk that happening. I don't know if they'll maybe cut the line off at seven, because that's how many European spots potentially are on offer in England. Yeah. But on that list, I can tell you for a fact, it's only Newcastle getting into it, because they'll always be expecting Leicester and West Ham to fall away. Even if they come back in a few seasons and then win something, then they'll drop out and then they'll come back and win something. That's what they're expecting them to do. Burnley, poor Dan. Nottingham Forest, never going to happen. Please never happen. Please stay irrelevant. Thank God, never win a thing in your life ever again. Sorry, Nottingham Forest fans, but I'm not. And, you know, the other teams on there, no, they're past it. They're past the sell-by date. They had their seasons in the sun, didn't they? The Leeds and that, they had their seasons in the sun. It's, and these clubs will have it. Yeah. These clubs have that moment.
Just looking at it here, I mean, there's been 50 Premier League clubs that have been in the top division since Premier League since it was formed. I want to say sort of hi to Rich. How are you? He says, if anything, it's the top two at the moment. Blackburn didn't win it. We drew with West Ham. Oh, gotta like a Man United fan. Anyway, welcome along, Rich. If you like your Man United, make sure you do follow Rich. It is a great Man United channel. 31 seasons Arsenal have been in it, in fairness to Arsenal, which is every single season. Aston Villa have actually been in it 28 seasons. So they're not that far behind. Bolton have been in it 13 seasons. I mean, obviously, like the Chelsea, the Man United, Liverpool, we all know that they've been in it as long. 14 for Crystal Palace, 16 for Fulham. Leicester, 17. I didn't realise it's 17 seasons, Brad, we've been in the Premier League. Newcastle,
28. No comment on that. What was there?
No, 28. I'll come to David then. 28 seasons, Newcastle have been in the Premier League. So these teams, they've got a right to, Southampton, 24. They've got a right to sort of say, well, we should be considered, depending, like we said before, what we judge the big six on being.
And Chris, I think probably eight or more of those seasons we've been in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Four under O'Neill.
Yes.
And four, is it four? In the last four?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I think there's only probably two, maybe three at the most seasons where, I think probably about two where we've not finished in the top 10. But as they're all these clubs, it's very difficult, and I still think it is a Sky thing that you know. Too. That's just for you there. That's just for you. And he's my son. I can't tell him off, Anthony. I'm sorry.
I know. He's all right. He's all right. When you had that history with Burnley, was that a history of relegation? Was that the?
I don't know, but I did have to blow the dust off the book when I got it out to look at Burnley.
Oh, right.
What are you blowing? All the stuff comes up. Well, we're going to end on this one, and thank you all very much for coming on. But out of the top six teams, then, let's bring the so-called big six. I should say so-called, shouldn't I? If another team was to break in it and into it, and let's face it, the most likely probably is Newcastle. Which of those teams do you see dropping out? Let's start with you, David.
Well, it's hard to tell, isn't it? I mean, at the moment, Man United, but they're never going to. Well, yeah, Man United. I think they. I mean, Tottenham shouldn't be there anyway, but Man United are a disaster waiting to happen. Gary Neville says it all. If he, the way he talks about it, he knows a lot more than I do. But the whole thing is wrong.
Yeah,
it needs rebuilding. So
and some clubs have to do that rebuild. And maybe if they've got the new guy in, and maybe this one will be given the time and not be expected to be competing straight away. Yeah, and rebuild that team, and it is going to be take a lot of rebuilding, but I think they can do it. I think, like you say, I think we all probably do agree, and I know Anthony's going to agree with this, that Tottenham shouldn't be in there anyway. But
Well, either one of the two. I want to see Tottenham, but that's not the case. I'd have to agree with Man United. Because with Man United is the new guys come in. What's his name? Ten Bob. And
11 Hog now, I believe he's called.
Ten Hag. And to be honest with you, with he's there, he's got a structure, that team, you know. I mean, obviously they're weak in defence, they're weak in midfield as well, like, you know, where they play the two DMs as well. So they've got quite a bit of weakness there in that squad. I don't think they're going to make a lot of signings next season, to be honest with you, Man United. I think it's going to be what they call project youth, like young players coming into the first team. And they've got to play with the big boys and get their, like, you know, their A game on. I think to be honest with you, they'll only get about 3 or 4 players in Man United.
And Dan, I've just been reading Dan's message. Brad, I mean, everybody thinks it's going to be Man United on current form. They're going to come back possibly, or will Newcastle take advantage and embed themselves in there before Man United get a chance to do what I think the new manager will do, which is a rebuild? But will sort of Newcastle pinch their place?
I just don't think it's possible. I honestly don't think it's possible. And the reason why is when the Premier League was established, Manchester United won the title back-to-back, didn't they? And they were kind of like the poster boy for the Premier League. And if you look at every time you see a big match from the past of the 90s and the mid-2000s, it's always like a heated rivalry between Manchester United and Arsenal. And it, or it's a... You know, if anyone's on there that's going to get dropped from it, from maybe from a perspective of not achieving absolutely anything, it's Spurs. Get them out. I don't know why they're in there. They're a joke of a Big Six club in terms of not matching any of the credentials for a Big Six. So not a joke of a club, but in terms of saying, well, we've got all the credentials. No, you haven't had a credential since 61. But, and this might sound weird, I can't see it because I think financially they make too much for Sky for their appeal. But if you look at that Big Six and go, it's not the same competition anymore. You're not as excited for Arsenal and Manchester United as you used to be. But you're also not, you're looking at them for any clutch and straws of rivalry. Chelsea are technically the odd one out in that now, aren't they? You know, you've got your Manchester derby, you've got your Liverpool Manchester United, you've got your Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea really don't fit in that. They're all a bit meh. When I hear Chelsea, Arsenal, I don't think, oh, brilliant, like I used to. I think, oh, no one cares. No one really cares. I honestly think, statistically, it should be Tottenham, but I would honestly look at that and think maybe Chelsea, despite the fact that they won the Champions League only last, you know, not last season, but the season before, they're the odd one out. They're the ones that are probably looking at it and getting the boot because they're no longer the popular kid on the block. They're the ones that have no big holding point with the other five. So I could see it being Chelsea for Newcastle because you get another dominant force in the next 3 or 4 seasons. Once, if they buy right, I mean, the Joker once said all it takes is one bad day for everything to go wrong. So it could go wrong for Newcastle. We've seen it before with big rich owners. You know, QPR spectacularly failed when they spent a load of money. I know their owners aren't as rich, but still. If it's going to be anyone, it deserves to be Spurs. But I would put a long shot on it if you was to ask a book his odds, who's going to get removed for Newcastle in the Big Six? I would say Chelsea because they just look a bit odd now.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That's what we just, as a, it's not a competition. It's not sort of, you know, who's the best, who's the worst, but it is just a debate. And thank you, gentlemen, for joining in. I think the same thing we've sort of got out of that is we all don't like Tottenham.
Yeah.
I used to love Tottenham as a kid. Loved them. but not now.
We don't love Tottenham and they shouldn't be in it. But look, thank you all so much for coming on. Your links are all in the description below. Even Dave, what's the radio station you're on again, Dave?
Surrey Hills Radio.co.uk.
There we go. Give it a check out. Community Radio, give them the support. Anthony, we know you're on Anthony Herbert under everything.
That's right. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me on SVT TV, Dugout Daily, Football United TV, and also Leicester Till I Die. If you haven't hit like or subscribe to this channel, make sure you do.
Good man. And Brad.
Yes, well, despite all technical failings with my phone today, you can usually find me being a co-host, especially during post-matches here at Leicester Till I Die TV. But I also have my own channel, A Matter of Opinion, and I have just hit a milestone of, well, I actually now have 101 subscribers. I hit that this morning, well, just about this afternoon, so that was brilliant. The link is on my Twitter, which is at Full Time Focus. So if you want to give me a follow on there and click the link that's in the bio, drop a subscribe. You'd be an absolute legend. But yeah, you can find me here and subscribe here first if you haven't already. But then go on, check out my Twitter and link or the link in the description and help me get to the next goal. That'd be brilliant.
Well done. Gentlemen, thank you all very much. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll see you next week. I don't know what the topic is yet because I haven't thought about it yet. That is my job for tomorrow. But hey, everybody, thank you all very much indeed. Cheers, guys.
Right. Cheers, Chris.
No worries.
So thanks to Dave, who's gone already. Thanks to Anthony. Thanks to Brad. And thanks to everybody that has been in the chat. It really obviously does make it more interactive for us on that.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
This is it. Do not forget to like the video. It does help with our YouTube figures. And I'm going to say thank you to everybody that has watched and thank everybody that has listened. Apple iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and Google, to name just four. And if you've got a smart speaker, ask it to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die. Thanks to James and everybody else. Helen, Scott. Did I say James? Quite possibly did. Renee, thanks to everybody that's been in the chat. It really has, I'd say, just make you old. Rich Sports, thanks very much for popping in. Dan, how could I forget my son? I try so hard to do it. I just can't. Oh, God. I tell you what. These people that, you know, they try and find the fathers. I mean, how he found me, God knows. I thought I'd covered my tracks. Scott, thanks very much as well, mate. It's been a pleasure. We will see you all next week. James there. Cheers. Great debate. Thanks very much. Take care. See you all soon. And thanks a lot for that, James. And I will see you back on Monday. Yes. What have we got on Monday? I'll tell you what we've got on Monday. I'll tell you what we've got, what we've really, really got. 9 p.m. on Monday. It is World Cup. And I forgot to write it on there, but we are looking at Group C. So we are looking at Group C, which is Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland. And we'll see who Doug thinks he's going to get out of that group. I think that's quite a tough group. I don't know if it's just me or not, but I think that is quite a tough group. Thanks a lot for watching. We'll see you Monday at 9 o'clock. Leave you with this.
Arsenal! Arsenal!
I will say goodnight.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
think it's all over. It is now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.